It's Monday, July 13th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 3, starting at verse 1, with a message titled, Humble Moses.
Why is God giving us these stories? Why does God inspire these stories for us? It's not because they have no meaning for us. That would be a wrong approach to the whole thing. These prophets are teaching us a lot about ourselves, because we are just like them. We are to learn from them who we are to be, what our purpose is, who God is, and what He's doing in the world.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn this morning to Exodus chapter 3. Last time we considered Elijah. This is our essential Bible text series, and now we're going to go back and look at Moses this morning. Exodus chapter 3. It's found on page 54. Let's give our attention this morning to the holy word of the Lord. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. And I'd just like you to notice verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say the Lord did not appear to you. And then down at verse 10, but Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And then verse 13, but he said, O my Lord, please send somebody else. Well, in the reading of God's word there today. Well, last week we considered the prophet Elijah, and I used that little phrase from the book of James that said Elijah is a man with a nature just like us. And I have to say, after looking and moving to Moses, the two great prophets, the two that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, that Moses is even more so a man just like us. He's a fascinating figure and someone to study. Where this series has sort of turned is to really look at some of the calling here, a few of these, of the prophets, their stories. Because in these stories, we learn so much about God and so much about us. I don't know how you miss that. It seems to me that we're learning that first, in the deliverance of people, you have it set up front. The Lord has to deal with the obstacles in his prophets themselves, which are just like us in many ways. That's why we learn from them. But he's working in his prophets. He's overcoming major obstacles in his own prophets and their understandings of who God is and who they are. In other words, why is God giving us these stories? Why does God inspire these stories for us? It's not because they have no meaning for us. That would be a wrong approach to the whole thing. These prophets are teaching us a lot about ourselves because we are just like them. We are to learn from them who we are to be, what our purpose is, who God is, and what he's doing in the world. What is God doing? What is this? What are we about? And all of that is captured here in the story of redemption that's woven through all of these prophets and their callings to raise up at least one day a prophet like unto Moses. My goal is to shine a light on the ministry that God has given here, a ministry that's given to you, and to see how wonderful he is in his love for you. This passage really captures that. His care for you, his determination. I suppose I should emphasize that. His determination to save, and that nothing will stop that. And the passage draws us in to have confidence in that work, to understand that work, to understand God, and then to understand a little bit about yourself. Today we look at the calling and sending of Moses and what makes for a humble and effective servant in the kingdom of God. The scene as we come to this morning is a well-known scene. It's a favorite of many people, Moses at the burning bush. Yeah, we read in verse 1 that Moses is here tending his flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And you'll notice here that he leads his flock to the west side or back side of the wilderness and comes to Horeb, the mountain of God, an important theme throughout scripture that is traced, the mountain of God. Moses here is a shepherd of the priest of Midian. So he's been shepherding many years now in the wilderness. In fact, his life is broken up sort of in 40s. And here we are in the second 40. He is near 80 years old. And the last 40 will be sent to, and by the way, if you think you're out of service at 81, you're wrong. 80 to 120, that's how long he lived. He would draw and bring out Israel from Egypt. So sitting there in the back of the desert was a giant mountain called Horeb. And you'll notice it's referenced here as the mountain of God. This is Sinai. This is Sinai, such a crucial spot of revelation in the Old Covenant, important for us to understand. He comes to the base of this mountain, and all of a sudden, in verse 2, we read that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And you'll notice here, he says, he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. I think it's probably best translated here. The angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame of fire. As a flame of fire. So the angel is on fire in the midst of the bush, and the bush is not consumed. I can imagine seeing that. Moses looks at this, and it marvels him. He's marveling because why is this little bush not consumed if it's on fire, and fire's in the midst of it? Now, this is intended to be a great lesson for Moses. This is training for Moses. This is training day, if you will. When God was ready to do a work among his people and to deliver his people, you know that shortly before that, throughout the Old Testament, he would raise up prophets, and the prophets would go, and they would go and speak, "Thus saith the Lord," and they would go and give his message. And before they went, it's a marvelous study to think about what he did in the life of the prophets before he sent them. It's a glorious revelation that the prophet first had to be given a true knowledge of God. The prophet first had to stand in his presence and know God. Now, that's exactly what is really beginning to happen here, that will really frame all of Moses' ministry and what the whole book of Exodus is about. Angel begins to speak to Moses, "Moses, Moses," and he says, "Here I am. Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy. It's holy ground." Now, what is God doing here, and what is happening here, and what is God communicating? And the first thing you can't miss in light of the whole Exodus is, Moses, keep your distance. Moses is learning a lesson about drawing near to God, a lesson that needs to vitally be learned today, doesn't it? Moses, as he begins to approach this bush, the angel speaks to him, and the first thing he does is cover his face, and he removes his sandals, and he stays at a distance, because he's on holy ground before the Lord. This is such an important moment, I think, in the revelation here and calling of Moses. You realize that anyone who was ever properly sent into the ministry of the Lord and the service of the Lord first had to have wrong conceptions corrected. Crucial. Wrong conceptions, usually naturally perceived and believed, all of that had to be torn down about God himself. And that's a big point for us. His prophets were first confronted over and over again with their sinfulness before God and God's otherness, God's majesty, God's greatness, God's holiness. These revelations had the effect of introducing the holiness of God and the dual effect of humbling the prophet. That was so with Isaiah, you remember, in chapter 6, when he sees just a little glimpse of the glory of God. That's why when you think of some of the modern praise songs, I just want to touch him. I want to see his face. Those songs are theologically erroneous. No one could do that and live. And people sing them today like it's nothing. Notice here that when the great work of the prophet, it was accompanied with this glorious revelation of God and the face is shielded. And like Isaiah, woe is me, I am a man undone, I am a man of unclean lips. That was Isaiah. And that's crucial for this text to begin today. No true servant of the Lord will ever be effective in the calling of the service that God has for him until he comes to grip with God's holiness. And understanding who we are dealing with. And that produces in Moses immediately something here you can't miss. Awe. Admiration. Respect. Reverencing deeply God in his presence. And this is what the beginning lesson of Moses is. It's the question of really the book of Exodus. If you're putting this in context, Moses is being trained to how to bring the people of Israel to their God. How can we, defiled sinners, come into the presence of God and live? That's the question of the book of Exodus. The greater question is that the deliverance from sin, yes, and bondage, but the greater problem is not Pharaoh. The greater problem of the book of Exodus is this. So here's the imagery here as Moses comes upon this bush. You have the angel of the Lord on fire in the midst of the bush. And what makes this more interesting is there's probably a play off the word bush here. The Hebrew word is senna, a little 2-foot desert thorn bush. It seems to be a play off Sinai itself. At Sinai, remember, he would descend in fire on the mountain. And the mountain was on fire when Moses would look at the fire. And he would show himself as he led them through the wilderness as a pillar of fire. You can pick this up in Ezekiel 1, the imagery of the same, that it's a fire, what we call theophany. The text says here in Exodus 3 that this flame was in the midst of the bush, but it's who appears to him in the midst of the bush. It's the angel of the Lord. In Hebrew, we say the Malach Yahweh, that is angel Yahweh, the angel Yahweh. In verse 4, he speaks out of the midst of the bush. And the marvel is the angel is speaking as God. Here we have Moses drawing near. But what marveled Moses is this. The bush is not consumed. That's what he wanted to see. And I think you can't miss that what is happening here is Christ is on fire, not consuming this little desert shrub. And that, beloved, is the whole ministry of Exodus. Remember when Moses, after they made the golden calf at Sinai, he appealed and he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here, your presence. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. That was what the result of the Exodus was, a people brought to him, near to him, who would worship him. That was the purpose of their deliverance. He says the same thing in Deuteronomy 5. So it was when you heard the voice, the Lord said, from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near. All the heads came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord our God has shown his glory and his greatness, And we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he lives. That's the marvel. Here's what overwhelmed Moses. God would take his place among them. He would tabernacle among them. He who is a consuming fire, Hebrews, and dwelling in their midst, he would not consume them. The motivation of God is moving in this text, and that's what I really found so overwhelming about this particular passage again. God says to Moses, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Just ponder that. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Motivation of all this. God loves his people. He sees his people. He knows their sufferings. He hears their prayers and their cries. The whole Bible constantly represents them as coming up to the throne room of God, like prayers of incense, right into the throne room. They're suffering. They're in bondage. And notice he says, I have come down to deliver them. I love them. And I'm going to give them the land. I'm going to give them eternal life. I'm going to give them the land promised to Abraham. This is the marvel of our faith. That God loves you, his people. That God constantly considers you. Now, I don't have to tell you you're worthy. You're not worthy of that. But he does. And he hears your prayers. And he hears your cries. And he says, I'm giving them eternal life. I'm giving it to them. This is right out of the words of Jesus. The Father bestows a kingdom upon you. It's a gift. The whole story of the Exodus is a representation of the cross and him coming down to rescue us from sin and death. That's all this is. That's what the whole book of Exodus is teaching us. So what does God do? Next breath. Come now, Moses. I'm sending you. I'm sending you to Pharaoh that you may bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. You could almost hear the thoughts of Moses' head, and they come out. You're doing what?
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us again next time for part two of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.